Morning. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we're the pastors of Grace Christian Center, and we welcome you to Grace Christian Center Online. We are delighted and honored that you are here with us today. We're going to celebrate Jesus through song and through worship and through the message of the Word of God. It is a day of celebration.
It is indeed.
Let's start with a song, and we'll get started here. As people come up, we welcome you and are delighted that you're with us. It goes like this, sing along. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. For you, because when we see you, we find strength to face the day, and in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come every way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. We sing our hosannas, we sing our praise to you, Lord,
yes,
and into your hands. We dedicate this time. We love you so much.
Yes, we do.
Our hearts are fixed, oh God, our hearts are fixed.
Totally.
We will sing and give praise. You are worthy of all our praise and our adoration. We thank you for a brand new day, and we worship you in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us in Psalm 118, verse 24,
this is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. And there's a very special reason in addition to celebrating in the Lord today. We get to celebrate in the special creation of you, Pastor Sherry, because it's your birthday. And I know everybody's joining us to say happy birthday, Pastor Sherry.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sherry. Happy birthday to you. So my question
thank
is
you,
this.
Thank you.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I have to say thank you, Jesus. You've given me many, 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 many years. And I'm thankful for every day. And I don't take one day for granted
anymore.
His grace has been upon me.
That's right.
And I'm grateful.
That's right. We are grateful. We're grateful. Today. We know that this is not necessarily the days that we expected to be in this fashion, but we're delighted and honored to be here with you. We're looking forward to maybe in a matter of weeks being back together in public gatherings
yes.
as well. But, you know, the Lord has all the victory. He is a treasured, powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
yes.
and you can't shut him down. When they shut a door, you know, it's like they say, he opens a window, and
Amen.
Through that window, people
Amen.
All around the earth have gone on to live streaming. The gospel is being preached. You know, there is a multitude of people giving their lives to Jesus. And so we are seeing a revival, an online revival, if you will, taking place. And we are just so grateful. And
Amen.
Thank you for being
for
here.
Sure.
Pastor Sherry, I know the Lord's put something in your spirit this morning as we welcome people online. They're coming on. We're so thankful to see you and have you with us. But what's in your heart this morning that God's put on your spirit?
Psalm 52. And I think it's appropriate for the day that we're living in, because Psalm 52 is a psalm of contrast. It really is. The psalmist is describing those people in the first seven verses. He's describing the people that hate him, that just hate him, and he's calling them deceivers, people that
Sure.
love evil, people that call good evil and evil good. The people who love lying. They didn't make God their strength was the problem.
I see.
They didn't turn to God.
Sure.
They trusted in riches and wealth and wickedness. Wow. Those are pretty powerful statements, Pastor Kevin. The Psalms are so real. The psalmist is revealing his heart about what he thinks about these things. And in doing so, he's crying out to God, saying, God, and then he comes to verse 8. But God, listen to what it says. This is from the King James. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. That's how long I trust.
Beautiful.
I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait upon thy name, for it is good before the saints. Amen, amen.
Amen.
What does it mean to be a green olive tree, flourishing and prosperous and with having illuminating oil? And that's how our lives are.
Exactly.
We're not trusting in what the world's trusting in.
Exactly.
We're trusting in God. And we're like green olive trees planted by the rivers of God's living water.
That's an absolutely beautiful image, because there's so much fear all around the earth. It's being promoted by, you know, the media, et cetera.
That's right.
There are concerns, no question, but there's such a hyper fear that has even come upon God's family.
Yes.
We are different, and we're not subject to the fear of the world or the fear of the devil. We encourage everybody this morning, let us rise up in understanding. Jesus is here. He's for us. He's alive and well. He's on the throne, and we are like green olive trees around Israel.
I love it. We trust. We have confidence in him, even to the point of being careless. We aren't caring like the world is caring.
Excellent.
We run under that wonderful umbrella of protection he's given us. And his mercy is upon us, his kindness, his favor. And we found that.
Absolutely true.
I cannot believe our prayer line, our GCC prayer line for needs that people call in during the week, is as low as it's ever been.
Yep.
I am amazed. God's protecting us, and I am so grateful and thankful. And the psalm says that he's waiting on the Lord, and that's a verb. That's an action word. It means to bind together by twisting.
I'm sorry, would you repeat that again, please?
Yeah. It means to bind together by twisting.
Powerful.
To expect. And that's what we as saints, we have been given that privilege right now, because everything is kind of stopped. So we have more time than ever to be bound together. As Noah went into the ark,
beautiful,
so we as Christians are going into the ark at this time.
That's beautiful.
So let me finish by reading it from the Passion Translation.
And as you do, I just want to encourage you. We, believe it or not, we didn't share all our notes together before we come to this time. She seeks the Lord, I seek the Lord. That is exact 100% confirmation of the burden that's on my heart as well. So I just cheer for you.
Amen.
Birthday girl. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Lord. But what a powerful insight. And in fact, those of you who have known Pastor Sherry for decades know that her gift really is teaching us how to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, to bind together by twisting as we wait upon him. And we have some children that she's prepared for us that we will go ahead and talk about a little later, that's in this line and in this spirit. So, beautiful. I know I'm interrupting, but I just so appreciate your sensitivity to Jesus.
Let me read it from the Passion Translation. But I am like a flourishing olive tree, anointed in the house of God. I trust in the unending love of God. His passion toward me is forever and ever, because it is finished. I will be praising you forever and giving you thanks.
Excellent.
Before all your godly lovers, I will proclaim your beautiful name. So let's sing together and let's praise him. Let's start by giving thanks and hallelujahs to him and enjoying being in his presence this morning, even online. Yes, even online. We're coming together as the family of God to worship and praise our Savior.
Amen.
I love you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And so remember, just sing along and enjoy the presence of the Lord as you're there. You want to get up and dance. I had somebody give a note to us last week that my wife's dancing before the Lord. Well, that's fantastic. So raise your hands, clap your hands, and rejoice in it. Let's start with that song again we began with. It goes like this. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Oh, hope is turning, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way upon us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we come to give you praise and give you worship this morning. You are so worthy of every hosanna that we raise, every song that we sing, Lord. We give praise and thanks to you because you are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're worthy of every song we could ever sing. Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, so true. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. You open up.
through and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh Jesus, we live for you. We love and worship you today, Lord. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. You open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Alone is worthy to worship and adore. The Lamb of God, victorious, arisen, Lord. He purchased our redemption, our righteousness is He. Exaltation of Jesus is worthy. Now what I'm going to do is we sing that song again. I'm going to raise up the key just a little bit. But especially I urge you to personalize that song this morning. You alone are worthy to worship and adore. You are the Lamb of God, victorious, our risen Lord. You purchased our redemption, our righteousness. Well, that's you. We exalt the name of Jesus. You are worthy. You alone are worthy to worship and adore. The Lamb of God,
Lord, you purchased our redemption, our righteousness on you. Oh, we thought the name of Jesus, you are worthy. For you alone are worthy to worship and adore. The Lamb of God, victorious, arisen, Lord. You purchased our redemption, our righteousness are you. For we adopt the name of Jesus, you are worthy. Oh, we adopt the name of Jesus, you are worthy.
One more time on that line.
Holy, exalt the name of Jesus, you are worthy. The Lamb is worthy, the Lamb is worthy, the Lamb is worthy of all praise. Glory and honor, all adoration. The Lamb is worthy of all praise.
Very simple chorus. The Lamb is worthy.
The Lamb is worthy.
Gracious Jesus.
The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb is worthy of all praise. Glory and honor, all adoration, the Lamb is worthy of all praise.
Glory and honor again, here we go.
All adoration, the Lamb is worthy of praise. You are worthy of it all. Just declare your praise to Jesus, for from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you're worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are a base, to you are a base. You deserve the glory. But from you are a base, to you are a base. You deserve the glory. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. For you are worthy to be praised. Oh, we worship you, ever God, victorious King of Kings. Oh, we worship you. Oh, Lord, you are worthy of it all. For from you are a things, to you are a things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Oh, you're so worthy. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
And all the people said, Amen. You deserve the glory, Lord. We are so grateful to you, for you. We're going to turn to the Word of God. I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to follow up. Last week we talked about, but wait, there's more. As Jesus told his disciples to go wait upon him in Jerusalem, he has so much more. And you know, we need to realize that in our lives, that's what we can receive as well. So much more. How much do you want? You want the presence of the Lord in your life in a way than we've had him before? It's time to celebrate and understand that our God has so much for each one of us. By the way, let me just interrupt myself to say, if you have the elements of communion, we're going to celebrate communion at the end of this time here. And we have a very special thing to offer to you through Pastor Sherry as well. And so that'll be special. We'll do that at the end. But go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to follow up. You know, the disciples have celebrated the resurrected Jesus. Thomas's doubts, they're resolved. He put his hands into Jesus' scars. Faith is restored. But it seems like another test is coming. Before Jesus ascends to his Father, he tells his disciples to go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued upon, or as the Greek defines it, clothed upon, endued with power from on high. What's up with that? Wait. Hurry up and wait. we go through all of this just to have to wait? Let me ask you an honest question. How well do you do when patience is required? Now we're human, right? We're human. If you could be honest enough with me, I'm very honest with you. We're human. Do you discover that humanity comes out, especially when, man, it can be even after you've sung your songs and you've prayed and worshiped, you've been to the Word of God, then you get in your car and you drive somewhere and somebody blocks your goals, somebody stuck on the road, and or a big, huge school bus, and you went at just the wrong time and they've got the stop sign out every time you turn around. Come on, I know you've been through that with me. And all of a sudden, your patience is seriously tested. There's an old story, you know, about a woman whose car stalls in traffic and she looks under the hood. She's trying to identify the cause, but the driver behind her is just relentlessly honking his horn. Finally, the woman's had enough. She walks back to his car and instead of erupting at him, she sweetly looks at him and she says, you know, I don't know what's wrong with my car, but if you want to go look under the hood, I'll gladly sit in your car and honk for you and at you. Patience. We got to remember that the disciples are real people in a real world. So many people thought Jesus was going to come and get rid of the Romans and he was going to ascend to the throne and Israel was coming back to its place of glory. And Jesus didn't do that yet. He says, wait. He often does differently than we expect, doesn't he? Wait. Jesus is God's mystery, who unfolds himself in his timing and in his way to each and every one of us. He has instructions for you and for me, and he unfolds himself in different ways. Colossians 2, 1 and 2. We talked about the majesty of the mystery a couple of weeks ago. I'm repeating it this morning. The majesty of the mystery. Colossians 2, verses 1 and 2, reading especially from the New American Standard. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, the Apostle Paul says, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes, not from the world, but from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. How do you discover the secrets, the true knowledge, the full assurance of the mystery of Christ himself? You got to take time. You got to take time with him. Wait. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. The key scriptures for the morning are Acts 1, 1 through 11. Acts 1, 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James Bible this morning. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We know Luke is writing this, and Theophilus is obviously this person he's written to. There's a lot of conjecture about who he is, but he's someone who's had the money to, or the time, or the means to be able to ask Luke to write the treatise, the book of Luke, the gospel, and now this is continuing on with the history. Until the day in which he, Jesus, was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and seen all of those proofs? And after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Excuse me. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there for all of that? Verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them, not a suggestion, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to, let's all say it together, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Probably it was about 10 days from this time of his ascension to the time of Pentecost. It had already been 40 days. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, lest that sound like an out of the blue question from disciples who weren't listening again, just like when he was walking down the road with them and saying, I'm going to suffer and die. And well, Lord, who's going to be the greatest? You know, talk about a disconnect. Well, this is not so abnormal. They'd already been through the suffering of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, if you will. They'd already been through that. And now he's resurrected. He's got power. He's got glory. So now is this the time? It's an understandable question. And isn't that what they would be anxious to have happen? Don't you long for that to happen in our world as well? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not yet. Going to have to wait on that. But, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Verse 9, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I just love this. Can't you put yourself there? You let it live. I can see. Wow, what an amazing event to see Jesus ascending into heaven. And it took a couple of angels to say, hey, guys, come back to earth. We got something for you to do. But how powerful. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Powerful. I want to talk about waiting on the Lord here this morning. Wait. In John 20, verse 22, you'll recall Jesus breathed on his disciples. They were going to go out and do supernatural ministry. Sent them out two by two. He sent them out to minister. And Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. Every believer has that breath of God, the Holy Spirit that indwells and lives within us. But that's different than what is going to occur 10 days from this treatise. In Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, but he was sending them out to do supernatural ministry. They needed the Holy Spirit's anointing. Acts 2, the Spirit will come upon them and baptize them, fully whelm them, immerse them in the Holy Spirit, and will remarkably change their lives forever. You recall in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would fall on individuals for specific events, but in the New Testament, he's available to all of us. He said, if I go away, greater things than these shall you do. I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the promise of the Father. And Jesus, through the Spirit of God, is in each one of us, speaking to each one of us, teaching us, leading us, guiding. What a great, miraculous, powerful truth. He's with you right now, in you right now. But catching back up with the disciples, we, if we're considering ourselves with these Jesus followers, which we are, told to wait. That word is parameno, parameno. And it means remain, abide, remain all around in the Greek. It means remain steady regardless of the obstacles involved. Let me repeat that. Remain steady regardless of the obstacles involved. Are you surrounded with a lot of obstacles right now? Doors closed, things you can't do, places you can't go. The whole world is stopped in its tracks. And Jesus is marking you and me out by saying, remain steady. Wait on me. I'm not only coming, I have something to do for you and in you. Wait. Remain faithful. Endure this time. Endure this surrounding difficulty and wait for a supernatural clothing from Father God who will pour out to you the promise of the Father. May I ask you, are you walking with Jesus by faith? Do you believe he has his hands upon you right now? Do you fully understand what's going on right now? No. Emergency declarations, businesses are bankrupt, entire world stopped, safety to lower the curve, but you probably feel like I am feeling, that there is some serious, significant government overreach taking place. People are getting restless to go back to work. But, allow me to question or encourage. Don't rush back to do business as usual without stopping to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you doing in me? What can I do to cooperate with you and therefore have you move through me to my family, to my friends, to the world who does not yet know him, because they're shaken to the core and angry, frustrated? How can I minister the presence of the Lord to this darkening world that needs a wonderful Savior? Well, I'm not going to minister as effectively if I've not allowed him to endue me with his power and his presence, if I've not stopped myself from going along with the world's crowd and said, wait a minute, I'm not of that spirit. Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Jesus' followers, we're not the same as those who don't have hope, who look to the world for every answer. We are in the world, the Bible says, but not of the world. What a powerful verse Hebrews 11, verse 13 is. These all, the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were assured of them, embraced them, listen, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You ever feel like, I don't quite belong? There's a reason for that. Doesn't mean we don't reach out in love and we don't contribute life, salt and light, love, his presence, his strength to our communities. But we're not of the world. We're in the world. And we need to remember that, lest we get carried away with either the fear or the anger. And the news would have you be carried right along on whatever wind stream they want you to experience. No. We belong to Jesus. We bring him to this world. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 10 of Hebrews 11 out of the Passion. His eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder and maker is God. Don't be shaken, but hold on to God's unchanging hand. What are you seeing in the Word of God? What are you hearing in your time with Jesus? What is the Bible speaking to your heart? Then share that with somebody else. Have you received the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit? A fresh baptism. Remember, they were filled with the Spirit in Acts 2 and then again in Acts 10 and other places. There was a new shaking, a new refilling. Eyes open. Lord, open my eyes, my ears to hear for your fresh word. I want you to be assured Jesus has not forgotten you. He knows you. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Our hearts break for people, as we've said every week, who are ill and some who have died, families that have loved ones that have gone on and had to be alone, weren't now able to be there. It's heartbreaking and tragic. But we believe our Jesus knows how to speak to us in the midst of it and reach out through us to people who are hurting. Author, speaker, and pastor John Ortberg said these words: what God does in us while we wait is as important as what it is we're waiting for. Like me, do you have a wait problem? Okay, now don't rush to judgment. Yes, yeah, don't get critical of me. I understand. But this is a different kind of wait problem, W-A-I-T. We read past the scriptures sometimes in our hurry. Bishop Mark Sharona has a great phrase. I love it. He oftentimes says, we need to slow something down to the speed of life. Stop. Let it live. There's a word in the scriptures, in the Psalms, Selah. Stop. Think about it. Build in a breath take a breath, a breathing moment in your life before we react to things. Consider the disciples, the Jesus followers. They were ready. They were excited again. Jesus is alive. Thomas's doubts are gone. They know he's risen. They can change the world with this message of who Jesus is. But they didn't know how long the wait was when Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. But remember, Jesus is always right on time. Just for you and for me, he's right on time and he knows. We need to try to understand this from a few points I'm going to give you. From I understand we try to take our 21st century sensibilities to the first century that they lived in, but I still think there's some truth we can extrapolate from this whole process for us today. Number one, waiting involves putting your personality on hold. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Kev. I am who I am. I'm created by God. Yeah, I know. We have a real demanding spirit nowadays in our society. I've got what I've got. I am who I am. And all of that is true. Your identity is rich. Your story is powerful. And we love you and your story. And we love your personality. But all of us right now are having to put things on hold. Me? I want to control life. Well, duh. Not, how's that working for you, Kev? How about maybe you want peace restored? Well, praise God, peace is in Jesus. Maybe you just want things back in right order. Well, that may not happen for a while, and it may look different when it comes back together. Maybe you want the fun to return. Maybe you want the old party to come back. Well, you know, I imagine when things open back up, it might just not be the same party, but let's start a new one. Let's start a new party in Jesus. If you raise children, you know what it's like to teach them patience. It wasn't easy. I want patience and I want it now, right? It's not easy. But today, too often we can get demanding spirits. If God doesn't make sense, take it out on my friends or my spouse or rebellion. How about a rebellious attitude? How about, I know this is an ouch experience this morning. How about a rebellious attitude toward the government? I may not like the governor. I might not like the president. I might not like, but you know what the Bible tells us to do? To pray for them. If they have not commanded us, and in Washington State where we are, I may not like, I might rankle under some of the hypocrisy. I don't like it, but I've not been forbidden to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that the government plays a righteous role. Even if the members of that government aren't all righteous, the government plays a righteous role. I need to stop my spirit from sliding or running headlong into the same spirit the world has and repent of a rebellion and get back to subordinating the expression of my personality and demands to Jesus to please him. Please hear what I'm saying. I understand it's frustrating. It is for all of us. But Lord, what are you saying is the more important issue at hand? Is my attitude, Lord, pleasing to you right now? Do I need to surrender my personality, my personal demands to you so I can quiet myself to hear you? Waiting means the consideration that maybe this is a test. This is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system, blah, blah, blah. Is this a test? Jesus does a lot of things at once, you know. He does something in you, does something in me, and a great big God works in each of us. But he's saying, will you come and wait on me? He said to his disciples, if you want the power and anointing to take those next steps, it involves waiting on me. Gary Collins is another Christian leader and pastor, made this statement. We serve a God whose calendar moves in millennia, not minutes, who thinks in terms of generations, not seasons. Oh boy, waiting can get long, it seems like, and frustrating, can't it? Consider Martha and Mary. They were waiting for Jesus to come and heal their brother. In fact, if you look at the scripture, you try to have that come alive. I can hear a voice of frustration when each of them individually run to see Jesus. They love him. They're thrilled to see him. Their hearts are broken over their brother who died. But can you hear it when they ask, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Jesus looks at them and says, do you understand that I'm the resurrection and the life? You know, if they hadn't waited, they wouldn't have seen the miraculous resurrection take place. They wouldn't have understood that Jesus is the God of resurrection and life right now in life instead of just someday for by and by in heaven. Joseph had to wait 13 years for his dreams to be fulfilled. God had to work his dreams out and work character in while Joseph waited for the fulfillment. Abraham waited 25 years for the promised son to be born. Imagine being Joshua and Caleb waiting 40 years while you were two of the 10 spies. The spies that went up. And everybody else brings a negative report. But you bring back the word of the Lord. The two of you bring it back and say, we can do this. God said we can do it. Let's go get it. And the disqualification comes on the entire nation. And the two guys who believed God had to spend another 40 years in the desert. Wow. David waited years for the prophet Samuel's word to come to pass. And then only part of it gets fulfilled. He's king of Judah. And another 7 years before he's king of the entire nation. Go and wait. Waiting works a discipline into our character. And we have an instant hot, instant fast, instant food culture where waiting is not a part of it. But let me speak just a few minutes more. Give me a few minutes more in this message. There's a beauty in waiting. The beauty of waiting. Again, Martha and Mary discovered that Jesus was the resurrection and life today. Peter, because he'd been with Jesus and waited with Jesus and prayed with Jesus and fell asleep while Jesus was praying, but he was there. He went up on a mountain with Jesus. Peter was known because he sounded like Jesus. He'd been with Jesus too much. That forever changed him. As a young man, must be 40 years ago, I was a young minister. I had a calling on my life, knew it from the time I gave my life to Jesus at age 16 in the north end of Seattle. I knew I was supposed to go to WSU, major in radio broadcasting, and be in the ministry. By the grace of God, I've been able to do that. But I was a young minister with preacher's itch, and I went with my pastors and my wife to Apple Valley, where there was Revival Fellowship, a wonderful group of believers, where the revival had birthed out of the 1948 revival. These people were powerful, anointed prophets and apostolic ministries ministering around the world. It was incredible. But I had preacher's itch. So one day, Pastor Carl went off to one of these big meetings with the organizers, and I wanted to be there. But my wife and Pastor Sherry and I, we're left at lunchtime to fend for ourselves, while I had preacher's itch, to go into this jam-packed restaurant where we were holding this conference. It was jammed. And as we looked around for a space. And I'm just confessing to you, this is 40 years ago. I think the Lord's done a little bit of work in me since then, but I looked around. Who's somebody known? Do we know? Is there maybe not the big shots, but maybe a medium shot? Is there somebody here for us to sit with and have a great time with? There's only one place in that entire restaurant. Some sweet but little old lady sitting at a table by herself. Obviously, nobody else wanted to sit with her, and that's where we sat. Inside my heart of hearts, I thought, oh, gracious. And then she began to talk. And here we are 40 years later. And I can't reflect the conversation with you without my eyes filling with tears and my heart beating in love for Jesus, because this woman just began to talk about Jesus, who she'd waited on and loved and served for decades. And all that oozed out of her being was Jesus. And she used this one phrase, you know, no matter what happens, I just said that I am enamored with Jesus. May I share with you that 30 minute time has changed my life forever. Don't curse your life. Take time with Jesus, you guys. Quiet down and wait. It's just what the doctor ordered. It's just what Jesus is wanting us to do. You'll see as you do that you'll look more like him, sound more like him, talk more like him, think more like him, speak more like him, believe more like him. Just take time. What does this have to do with, but wait, there's more in the Holy Spirit? Everything. In this hour, you deserve everything. Come and get it now, demand now. Jesus has a different thing. I want to encourage you, take your pen and take your paper. Worship the Lord. Take your Bible. Sing. Shut off the digital music and let Jesus hear your voice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Pray. Just tell how much you love him. Thank him for having life and being able to live it with him. And then quietly listen and write down what he says. I told you I was going to show you something. This is a brand new page that Pastor Sherry has just developed. And it's a My Time with Jesus form. If you would like this, I urge you, it's absolutely free. Write PastorSherryHunter@gmail.com. PastorSherryHunter@gmail.com. I told you when we began, she has spent her life, for decades, helping us have an intimate relationship with Jesus. There's a new form she's just developed that will help you do exactly that. Wait. Come and wait. Come and wait. But wait. There's more. Father, thank you for the word of God that is rich. Thank you for these precious people within the sound of my voice. Thank you for my birthday wife. And we pray, Lord, even as we take time to wait upon you, you will speak to our hearts, so we'll be just like you in every way. In Jesus' name, and they all said, amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would, please, and bring the elements for communion to your table in front of wherever you are, as families, as friends, or by yourself. The elements of communion, of fruit juice, or cracker or bread, whatever it is you might choose to use. I'll read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and woman examine herself. And let them then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself or herself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we participate in communion, we are eating his body, drinking his blood, that which represents that. And you receive a fresh infusion of life. Even as we participate this morning, this is not just some humdrum ceremony we go through. There's an impartation of his presence, the Eucharist, the celebration of his life. It's important. It's been important down through the centuries and the ages, the ancient church fathers and leaders and mothers who participated in communion knew, understanding how deeply meaningful what he had done on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection. So let's take the bread in our hands. This being his body broken for us. Lord, we thank you for your body being broken. And Lord, by your stripes, we are healed. And Lord, your body was bruised for our iniquities. You took our sins upon yourself and suffered on Calvary. So we don't have to suffer the judgment when we've surrendered our life to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here and you've not given your life to Jesus, now's the time to do it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to you. I believe you are the Savior and Lord. I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. All of us who are believers now, let's participate in his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. And now as we hold the fruit of the vine, we understand that he shed his blood on Calvary for you and for me. Victory comes from the cleansing blood. Sin is washed away. No sin is removed without the shedding of blood and all those beautiful scriptures. And just ask him to wash you clean by his blood and thank him for his blood shed for you in Calvary. Now let's participate together after we prayed. Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed for washing us clean. Thank you, Jesus, that this blood you shed ratifies the covenant. It's not what we've done. It's what you've done. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Let's participate together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. We are so glad to be yours. And Jesus, we pray that even as everyone goes from this place this day, they'll go in the strength and in the joy of the Lord, knowing that you are indeed our King and our Lord. Thank you for this time in the name of Jesus. If you need anything from us, then write Pastor Kevin Hunter at gmail.com or Pastor Sherry Hunter at gmail.com. You can go to our website, gracechristiancenter.us, and find other messages to listen to. If you've only newly come to Jesus as a Jesus follower, there's a program in there called Launching Your Faith. It's incredible. It's absolutely free of charge for the materials for you to download, fill in, and begin to put some great foundations under your walk with him. Raise your hand for the blessing, won't you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And let me read another scripture. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now bless these precious people who've been with us this morning. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. Thank you again. You've honored us by being here. We pray God blesses you richly. See you next Sunday.